Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, legends, welcome back to the rapid review of round three. Of course, a multicultural round in the NRL. Some amazing scenes over the weekend, which were unreal to see. Players running out with flags and whatnot. A lot of cultural representation, which was fantastic to see. And some unbelievable footy played as well. Now, rapid review for round three is brought to you by Grilled. And of course, Mad Bunday is on again today. If you use the link from last week and you signed up today, you will receive a 2-for-1 burger from Grilled if you are part of their loyalty program called Relish. If you haven't signed up yet, join the link in the description below, guys. And next Monday, if your team wins, you'll get a 2-for-1 burger. Shout out to Grilled for supporting us here at Rugby League Guru. It's been an unreal little combo there that we've formed up with them. So great to see. And what a deal. 2-for-1 burgers. And I'll tell you what, they are unreal. Me and Kat, we got stuck into some the other day and they were fantastic. So Mad Bunday on again today. Make sure if you haven't signed up yet, join up via the link. And if your team wins over the weekend, you will receive a voucher in your emails for a 2-for-1 burger on Monday. Mad Bunday, how bloody good. Unreal. If you're a South Sydney fan, you might be going hungry. Titans fans, you guys are going to be starving. Shout out to you West Tigers fans, especially Hammy. I know he'll be getting stuck into a 2-for-1 tomorrow at Grilled. So unreal scenes. Make sure you sign up. The link in the description. Support the people that support us here at Rugby League Guru. Now let's get stuck into the rapid review from round three, coming to you live from the CBA Centre of Excellence. It's about midnight on Sunday night. I'm doing the hard yards here for you guys, but I want to get it all out on Monday so you guys can enjoy it. Let's get stuck into the very first game. We had the Penrith Panthers 34-12 over the Brisbane Broncos. Look, a tough game here. And, you know, there's been a few of these games so far this year. The Brisbane Broncos, they obviously lost Reece Walsh early. They were without Payne Haas. They were without Adam Reynolds. It makes life really difficult. And I don't know how much to look into it realistically. When you take away your three best players, one of them being in game, really, really tough for the Broncos. Not to mention, it was against Penrith. At Penrith, they were odds were probably stacked against them regardless. I don't read too much into this for the Brisbane Broncos. I'd be putting this one in the swag, moving on to the next one. The Broncos have obviously got injuries. As I said, Adam Reynolds, Payne Haas, Reece Walsh got injured. Looks like he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So we'll see. I would assume we'll see Tristan Saylor get an opportunity over the next few weeks, which I'm really keen to see. He's obviously very talented, Tristan Saylor. He's got a heap to offer. They could move, you know, Selwyn Cobbo there or whatnot, but I don't think they will. I think they'll persist with Cobbo in the centres. I think they'll play Saylor at fullback would be my tip. But look, guys, as far as the Brisbane Broncos go, it's probably not an absolute stack to get into because there's not a heap to read into. I thought Willison was really good. Corey Jensen had a good game. Pierre Kura was solid. Selwyn Cobbo obviously had to move to fullback and sort of positional-wise got picked out a couple of times. But I'm not going to read too much into this Brisbane Broncos performance. It is the rapid review, so I'm sure with Kempy tomorrow and Bloke in a Bar, which you'll all consume, we'll get stuck into their game a little bit more and the particular players. But honestly, performance-wise, I don't read too much into this. It just is what it is, unfortunately. Sometimes these games happen in rugby league and it just is what it is, you know. The Penrith Panthers, a little bit to talk about there. I thought they were tremendous. Obviously, Nathan Cleary had it on a fucking string. He was unbelievable in this game. Absolutely killed it. Going up against the Broncos side that's missing players, as I said. So read into it what you will. But, I mean, the expectation is on Nathan Cleary when you come out against a team that you should beat, you should put a score on him. And, my God, he certainly put a score on him. Put him to the sword. I thought Isaiah Yeo was fantastic as well. Huge performance from him. He's having one hell of a season, Isaiah Yeo, very impressive. Isaac Tungo, he was great. You know what? There was matchups again that were ideal for him, but he did what he was meant to do. He absolutely carved them up. And people sitting at home that want to tell me, oh, he's only good because he's had matchups the last 2 weeks. He's played 50 games of first grade. He's 21 years of age. He's won a premiership at left centre and a premiership at right centre. It's not like this is the first time he's carved up footy sides as well. People messaged me and said, oh, where was he round one? Didn't do anything. He had the second most run metres of any centre in the competition in round one. His team didn't score a point and they played the Melbourne Storm. You know who scored more? The only player that got more run metres than him? Val Holmes. His team scored 40 fucking points. I mean, please. He ran for the second most meters in round one, and he didn't even have a line break assist. I mean, if you think Isaac Tungo is only impressive against teams where there's a mismatch, I'm sorry, but you don't have the slightest clue what you're talking about. I mean that with all due respect. 21 years old, a premiership left center, a premiership right center. He's played 51 games of first grade. The kid's a star. Just accept it. And he's going to be a star for a very long time. If you've been a long time guru listener, you will remember Matty Burton, Dally M Centre of the Year, was unbelievable. When he left at the end of 21, I said, look, he's a great player, but they're not going to miss him because they've got this kid coming through, Isaac Tungo, who is going to be a star. Since then, he hasn't put a foot wrong. And once again, if you think that he is only doing well because he's getting good matchups the last 2 weeks, you're living under a rock or you've got no idea what you're talking about. Kid is an absolute gun. I'm so excited to watch him over the next few years. I thought Mitch Kenny was really solid as well. I'll tell you what, without James Fisher-Harris, I thought that some of the bench guys really stood up. Obviously, Lindsay Smith was very good. I thought my boy, though, fuck, he's good. The front row forward coming off the bench, Liam Henry, I really like him. I said on Bloke the other day and I stand by it. I reckon he's a serious sniff to play Origin over the next couple of years. So keep an eye on Liam Henry. Very high on him. We'll be talking about him quite a bit in Supercoach over the next few weeks, I reckon, because I think he's going to score 45 to 50 every single week while JFH is out. And, man, he could earn a bigger role in that time, I'm telling you. Front row forward sucks in Supercoach. So Liam Henry, he is going to be relevant. We'll touch on him quite a bit. I spoke about it pretty heavily in the Roo Crew, so I'll just give you guys a little insight to what stood out to me from the Penrith Panthers in this game. And it's just, you know, like obviously in that game, so you saw the injuries to the Broncos, yeah? Reece Walsh, he got injured, he got the HIA, had to leave the field, wasn't coming back on. So the Broncos moved Selwyn Cobbo to fullback, yeah? He's played fullback before, he's a superstar, Selwyn Cobbo. But what it did is it changed the way that they were defending. And straight away, in game, the Penrith Panthers, their entire game plan straight away shifts to, okay, that's the spot we need to go at and that's the spot we need to pepper. All of a sudden, Isaac Tungo scores his two tries. Yeah, they're carving up that edge. The fellas on the left edge are getting a cold. Taylor May, Brian To'o, they don't see any ball. They don't see anything. They've got Katoni Staggs marking them. He hasn't had to make a tackle in 40 minutes. He's doing nothing. Half time, Kevy Walters goes, my God, I cannot leave a back row on Isaac Tungo any longer. Katoni, you're my international center. I need you to go over to the other side. I need you to contain Isaac Tungo, right? Now, the Penrith Panthers didn't know he was going to do that at halftime, yeah? They had no idea. They then come out at halftime and they assess, okay, Katoni Staggs has moved from their right to the left-hand side. He's going to take care of Isaac Tungo. And Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai, they have a conversation. They look at each other and they go, okay, let's shift our attack. Within the first 11 minutes of the second half, the Panthers moved from channeling down that right side to going to the left, and Brian To'o scores two tries in the opening 11 minutes after getting a cold in the first half. And you know what? It sounds so easy. Okay, sure, there's players missing. Attack that edge. How many HIAs do you see in rugby league? How many injuries do you see in rugby league? And how often do you see a team that is genuinely able to execute it throughout the game? It's not very often. It's shocking how few times it actually happens properly. The Penrith Panthers in that game showed you how well coached they are and how much of a good halfback they have. They identified it down the right edge. They went on it. They exposed them. So much so to the point that Kevin Walters went, fuck me, I've got to make a change here. Katoni, go over there. And Nath walked out, saw where they were standing and went, yep, okay, let's shift the game plan. Now, the game plan isn't always about just get the ball to that spot. It's about the set and where you build it from. So if you notice what the Penrith Panthers do, you go and watch Brian Toto's two tries, yeah? The ball is played at the exact same spot in both of those tries, to the right-hand side of the uprights. They get a big split. They get a wide shift. Nathan Cleary gets to come with different tempos and they create different shape. But what they do is they suck the players in, they create the space out wide, and they isolate the player that they want to isolate. They did it in the first half as well when Isaac Tungo scored his tries. One of them was off a heap of offloads, but the play started on the other side of the left uprights with Jerome Luai. Nathan Cleary gets it, shows, slow tempo, leaves Ezra Mam in about 15 miles. He's got no idea where the football is. This team is so well coached, it's not even funny. If you get an opportunity, just go and watch the highlights and just keep an eye on. As soon as Katoni shifts to the other side, Nathan Cleary takes full control and goes, okay, guys, this is the game plan now. I want to get to the right-hand side of the sticks. I want to swing it back and I want to execute on that spot where there is opportunities. And they did it perfectly. You see teams that when they are coming up against a side that has a spot defender, teams have all week to prepare for this. They would have their New South Wales Cup or their reserves defending there, the player they're trying to target. They would have a fluoro bib on them throughout the week and they would work at their sets of how they're going to get to that player. The Penrith Panthers go out there and are told on the fly, okay, this is the spot we're going to target now. Good as gold. They just all fall into place. They all play their role perfectly. Then all of a sudden that spot shifts to the other side of the field. And in game, they're able to shift and absolutely pepper that spot and dominate it and complete their sets exactly how they want. That is a very, very well-coached footy side. You might remember they did the same thing last week as well. Parramatta, all of a sudden, Kelmerton Wallungi's defending at left center. Isaac Tungo's the man to get the ball. They shift it left. They swing it right. Tempo, space, they create it all and they absolutely pepper that side. Brad Arthur didn't make a change in that game, so Penrith just went, yep, good as gold. We'll just keep going at you here. You find a weakness in your opposition and you absolutely hammer it. And that's what separates the Penrith Panthers from all these other sides. Meanwhile, you defend your ass off. You do what they do every week. You're going to be very hard to beat. But that was the number one thing that stood out to me from this weekend is how the Penrith Panthers adapted their attack based on what the Broncos did and what they saw in front of them. And it is full credit to Ivan, Nath, and you might not want to give it to him, but Jerome as well. Yeah, these three, they are just geniuses. And it was, as a footy nerd, it was the highlight of my weekend watching it. Unreal stuff. All right, that'll do us for the Penrith Panthers. That's enough. I'm sure you're all sick of hearing about it. You'll hear plenty of compliments for them throughout the year anyway. Let's move to the second game. New Zealand Warriors 18 over the Canberra Raiders 10. The Wars at home getting it done here. Pretty tight affair. The Canberra Raiders, they are just a tough, gritty footy side. Once again, they lost this one, but my God, they earn a lot of respect from me. You know what else I love? Their attacking shape looked better this week than what it probably did in the first 2 weeks. Now, look, I reckon the Raiders, this will sound crazy, I reckon the Raiders played better in this game than they did in large parts of their previous wins, and they lost this game. And this was the Warriors, probably their worst game of the 3 weeks, and this is the only one they won. A bizarre game of football, just crazy how it's played out. But both these teams, the Warriors, as I said last week, it's performance over results for me. Once this team starts winning, they will stack wins together very, very quickly. This Raiders side, I sort of had them as a bottom three team. I'm watching them now, and honestly, I don't... What they're doing is, you know, it's not out of the realms of possibility to do every week. It's going to be gritty. It's going to be tough. But, bro, that's Ricky Stewart. That's what they did last year. So this Raiders side, I had him in the bottom three. Honestly, I'm sitting here going, well, why can't they make the top eight? Why can't this team be a finals footy side this year? The New South Wales Cup is absolutely carving as well. They've got young guys to come back there. Corey Horsburgh returns, Seb Christ to return. They're sitting in a damn good spot, the Canberra Raiders. So full credit to them. Didn't win this game, but I really like the development of Jamal Fogarty as well. He's looking great. I've been very impressed with him and his halfback play, which is one of my big worries coming into this season. But I think he's looked really good. I think he's matured quite a bit. Ethan Strange, he's just alive on the football. He's not going to always get the right plays. He's going to come up with poor defensive plays here and there. But, mate, the kid brings energy, and that's going to do a lot for this Raiders side. Honestly, when I'm watching Ethan Strange, who would I rather have there, Jack Whiten or Ethan Strange? Jack Whiten every day of the week. Don't get me wrong. Champion of our game. But when you compare the salaries that you're paying Jack Whiten and you're paying Ethan Strange, value-wise, it's a completely different conversation. I'll tell you the other thing about Ethan Strange. He's a bit rogue. Ethan Strange doesn't know what Ethan Strange is going to do. He's very hard to defend. He reminds me a little bit, I spoke about it last week, back in the day when Darren Lockyer, when people used to shoot up at him, he'd come off his left foot and he'd come back to the middle. That's when he's at his most dangerous. And I'm not comparing Ethan Strange to Darren Lockyer, but he's one of those players that when you shoot up on him and you force him to play off the top of his head, that's when crazy shit happens with Ethan Strange. And that's a lot of the Canberra Raiders as well. So I really like the direction they're heading in. They're going to get a couple of forwards back over the next few weeks and whatnot, which is super exciting. I thought that Matty Timoko was fantastic. He's just an absolute weapon. We called him a strike center last year and I stand by it. Jordan Rapiner just does the job every single goddamn week. When you get to the start of every season and you see Rapiner at fullback, you go, oh, geez, can't the Raiders do better? Then you watch him play and you're like, eh, I'm okay with it. He's actually better than a lot of fullbacks in this competition. He's reliable. He can pull shit out of his ass. He's a good footballer, Jordan Rapiner. So full credit to him. As I said, I thought that Matty Timoko was unreal. 135-odd run meters, a line break, two line break assists, one try assist, three tackle breaks. Very good. Jordan Rapiner, eight tackle breaks. He just does it again. Fogarty, I thought, was solid. Danny Levi, geez, he makes some rogue decisions, Danny Levi. But I think that's just who he is. And I mean, surely they know, right? I'll tell you what, Zach Hosking came on and played about 60 minutes. I don't know what they're going to do here, but Zach Hosking has to play big minutes in this side. I think he has to be an 80-minute edge. I don't know what that means for Elliot Whitehead, the skipper of this side, but I just think Hosking is just too dangerous not to have in this team full-time. So maybe they keep playing the first 20 minutes with Elliot Whitehead and then they shift Hosking's on. I'm not quite sure how they're going to go about it, but he needs big minutes, man. He is a damn good footballer. Morgan Smithy, 66 minutes, got through his work again, was very solid. Yeah, look, I thought it was a good performance by the Raiders. Came up against a good footy side. The Raiders, I think this is just going to be their brand of footy. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be gritty. It's probably going to be low scoring and they're just going to try and make no errors. So I don't really take too much away from this Raiders loss. If anything, they almost impressed me more than the first few weeks. They're a resilient footy side. Who are going to be in the fight every single week. I think throughout the year, because of their young squad, they'll have a few blowouts here and there. But I think for the vast majority, the Canberra Raiders are going to be in the fight week in, week out. I'm enjoying watching them play footy. Normally I don't enjoy the Raiders because they play with no structure and they're a little bit all over the place. But I'm kind of enjoying what they're doing at the moment. There was a ball that Jamal Fogarty threw on the weekend that I thought was almost ball of the weekend. Saw a few people on Twitter blowing up that he didn't get the Supercoach try assist, and I completely agree. If it was one of the stars, he definitely gets it. So shout out to Fogarty. I think he's doing really good things. Yeah, Canberra Raiders, if anything, I'm more impressed with them coming into this week. I'm more impressed now than I was coming into this week, despite a loss. The Wahs. Thank God. Thank God they got this victory. As I said, I think it was probably the worst of their three performances, but they just found a way to win. This is a very, very good footy side, the New Zealand Warriors. They are well coached. They're well drilled. I think you could see that on that AFB first try, just the amount of shape that they throw at teams, the structures they throw was just brilliant. I love the way they use AFB in different spots in shape. If he's not getting the ball, he's drawing eyes, creating space for others. Just unreal. They're really going to miss him next year. Fuck, he's going to leave a hole. And you know what? I've been critical of AFB before that he doesn't perform against the best front row forwards in rugby league, your Fisher Harris's, your Payne Haas, went toe-to-toe with Papali'i, with Tapanay there, and definitely came out on top. So credit to him. Lukey Metcalf, we're calling him. He's coming of age. Absolutely love watching him play. You guys that have been listening to this podcast for quite some time, I never gave up on Luke Metcalf. I always thought there was a star there. He just needed someone to back him. And the Warriors, they have backed this kid, and you can see he's confident, which is great to see. Sean Johnson, solid. Without being outstanding, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, 200 run meters, scored a try, had a line break. I imagine he had five or six tackle breaks. He had five tackle breaks. Another very, very impressive performance by Roger. Played fullback in the second half as well. Obviously, Tane Taupiki got injured. We wish him all the very best with his HIA. But Roger, very, very impressive performance. I also thought that Rocco Berry was really solid in this one too. Had a couple of good moments and whatnot, and defended pretty well. A lot of things to like about him. Jackson Ford, couple of missed tackles, couple of handling errors. Just needs to get that shit out of his game because, my God, he gets through a lot of work. 164 run meters and made 40-odd tackles. So Jackson Ford brought his shovel, as did Tohu Harris, as he always does. Obviously, Wade Egan was ruled out of this one, so they lost him again. The Warriors, they found a way to win against a decent side, the Canberra Raiders, without Wade Egan, without Chancellor Klokstad. They'll be a much better side once they get those guys back. They also did this without Dylan Walker, which might not sound like much, but Dylan Walker is really important to this side, the role that he plays. So the Warriors, They were better in their first two games and lost. They were worse in this game, but they just found a way to win against a gritty opposition. So full credit to them. A good win by the Wires. Sometimes you just need to get your first win and move on. All right, let's move to the late game. Good God. Roosters, 48 points to 6 over the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And look, the Roosters, not a stack to talk about, to be completely honest with you. South Sydney were very flat. They gave it to them. Forwards were tremendous. White was great. Rhea Hargraves was everywhere. Terrell May came on, played his role. I thought James Tedesco had a blinder. He was sensational. Sammy Walker was everywhere. Sandon Smith, that's probably my one talking point. And I mentioned it during the week that I genuinely think there's a world that Sandon Smith and Sam Walker could be the better halves pairing than Keary and Walker. And that's really disrespectful to Luke Keary, but I kind of believe it, to be honest with you. So we'll watch it over the next few weeks. I'm not quite sure when Luke Keary is available again. Knowing the Roosters, they'll probably take their time. When you've got a guy like Sandon Smith performing the way that he is, I don't know if you rush Keary back in, but just keep an eye on him, man. I think he's such a talent. I think he's just got so much ability, Sandon Smith. I think he's slept on at the moment. Maybe not after last week, but Christ, he did some really nice things, had some nice plays. Great to see Connor Watson, his first game back. I absolutely love Connor. I was speaking to him on the weekend. He's going to jump on the podcast over the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. Absolutely love Connor, just a funny little bugger. All energy. I caught up with him in Vegas for about 20 minutes or so. He just came over to me after Captain's Run, and we're having a yarn and whatnot, and he just found out the day before that he'd missed the 17 for the Sydney Roosters. He was devastated, beside himself, and, you know, just sort of said, mate, Sandon Smith, he's won the 14 jersey. He's a great player. He deserves it. I'm just going to have to work hard and show what I can do. He went back to New South Wales Cup, played lock forward. I think he played 80 minutes both weeks and absolutely worked his dick off. Came back into first grade, was really good. Had to play a bit of 5-8, bit of hooker, scored a try. I love Connor Watson. I've got so much time for him. Such a good fella and a very, very talented footballer. Joey Manu, solid once again. Dom Young was everywhere, doing an absolute heap. Joey Manu as well. I'll tell you what. Sorry, Dom Young as well. Michael Jennings, 18th man. What a story. Unbelievable. Crazy. But yeah, look, a good win by the Roosters. They just absolutely dominated South Sydney. They would have really enjoyed that one. I thought Victor Radley was very good as well. Angus Crichton, really solid off the bench. I think it'll be interesting to watch him over the next few weeks. But yeah, look, the Roosters, 48 points to 6. I think the scoreline says everything you need to know about the Sydney Roosters. They were just all over them. South Sydney, probably more to talk about here. Christ. This is tough. This is getting tough to watch for South Sydney. And look, it's early in the season. Things can turn around very quickly, but they just look like they're in quicksand at the moment. JD looks like he's under a lot of pressure. I've had a bit to do with JD over the years. I you know, spent a couple of minutes with him in Vegas talking to him. He's a lovely guy. He's done a few favors for me previously for South Sydney fans and whatnot. I got a lot of time for JD, and I always sort of liked him as a coach, to be honest with you, but some of the decisions he's made over the last few weeks, I just can't get my head around. The halfback situation. Look, I've said it on a number of occasions. I don't think Ilias is the answer to their problems, but I think he is the best option they've got. I personally don't think Dean Hawkins is the answer. I think a lot of South Sydney fans are very high on Dean. He's from a very good family. The Hawkins, they're a South Sydney family. He's a good fella. He's a South Sydney junior as well. But I personally don't think he's the answer. I think you're going to get more of the same. And I just I can't quite put together how the South Sydney coaching staff watch Ilias really struggle at the back end of last year when they were in a hole and the halfback couldn't get him out of it. They then spent 6 months in the offseason where they had a decision to make, who's going to be a halfback, who's going to be the guy. We know Ilias couldn't get us out of a hole last year. We're going to back him in. He's going to be our halfback. Now, one thing that is really important with halfbacks, but especially with young halfbacks, who you defend alongside and your combination with your back rower. So he spent all last year with Keon Kolomantungi, and I thought they improved as the season went on. He then moved Keon over to the left side, yeah, which then left him with, I think, Jacob Ho, Jai Arrow to start the season, which is all good and well. Jai Arrow then gets injured. He then gives him another back rower in Cam Murray, who week three, he gets shifted back in the middle. Cam Murray never should have been there. It should have been Talis Duncan there, in my opinion. But you've got Lachlan Ilias, who wasn't able to get you out of trouble last year. You had 6 months to prepare for this season. You made the decision, Ilias is my guy. And then after 2 weeks... 2 weeks out of this season, when he's had two back rowers on that edge and you took away his bodyguard to start the season, you drop him for Hawkins. I don't know. It just doesn't add up to me. I don't really understand. And then just like, and personally, it annoyed me. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. But geez, it annoyed me in that game when he then switched Jacob Host to the left and Keelan Komatungi back to the right. It just made no sense to me. I don't understand what's going on there. I said last week I hated that he moved Cam Murray to the edge. Made no sense to me. David Wiley, maybe there was an injury at HIA. Forgive me if so, but he started and played 10 minutes. Talis Duncan played 22 minutes off the bench. And look, this isn't a personal thing against JD. I really like him as a bloke. I think he's a champion. I think he's done a number of very good things at South Sydney. But I sort of just feel like he's scrambling at the moment. Jacob Gagai played week one, hasn't been heard from since. Richie Kennard dropped as well, which I actually understand. I get that. But yeah, like Tane Milne, there's just so many little things that Tane does that doesn't make sense to me. South Sydney, they're in a bit of a hole at the moment. And honestly, if Cam Murray wasn't in that forward pack, I don't know if they could fight their way out of a brown paper bag at the moment. I think it was NRL 360 or Braith or Gordy or someone this week made a really good point. When was the last time a South Sydney forward pack beat up on another forward pack? I couldn't tell you. And honestly, they don't look like they're a sniff to do it against anyone. They play Canterbury this week on Good Friday, which Canterbury looked unreal on the weekend. They played really well. It's Good Friday. Anything can happen. South Sydney, I spoke about it last week. They're looking down the barrel of a pretty ugly situation pretty quickly. Jai Arrow due back around round 7, round 8. Ty Munro, 2 to 3 weeks away. I was talking to a lot of South Sydney fans this week. And the first thing they said to me was, when we get Ty back, and look, I love Ty Munro. He's one of my CBAs. I spoke about him before he debuted for a year or so. Absolutely love him. But Ty Munro has played 7 games of first grade. People are talking about Ty Munro like his GI coming back into this side. Yeah, he's still very raw. He is still very young. He's had a limited preseason because of injury. I don't think Ty Munro is going to solve all your problems. So it's just they're in a tough spot at the moment, South Sydney. JD looks to be under some serious, serious pressure, and they need to get more of one out of their forward back, but 2 out of their stars. We're swapping, you know, young halfbacks that are inexperienced. Meanwhile, we've got, you know, some of the most experienced guys in this competition who they need to get a lot more out of. Me personally, I would seriously be considering playing Cody Walker at 7. I know he might not be a halfback, but he might be their best halfback right now. And I think you need to put more responsibility onto Cody's shoulders because this is his side. He needs to take control of it, as does Latrell. They need to put more emphasis on him as well. But I would seriously consider playing Jack Whiten at 6. I'd also consider playing Jai Gray at 6, bring him into the side. I heard some of the 360 guys talking about maybe playing Latrell in the centres, Jack in the centres, Jai Gray at fullback. Playing Jack Whiten at 5'8", maybe Latrell in the centres, Jai at fullback. I don't know how to go about it, but I'd be trying to get Jai Gray in there. And I need Cody Walker to take over this footy side. I know we look at him as a 5'8 because he's such an instinctive footballer. But you talk to people at South Sydney and they reckon when they're out on the field, he's one of the main voices. So I think that he could play halfback. And once again, he might not be a halfback, but he might be their best option at halfback right now because they need their superstars to take more control of this side. We'll see how it plays out with South Sydney. But good God, some alarming signs. Some very, very alarming signs from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. All right. Let's move to the next game. The Canterbury Bulldogs, 32 points to nil over the Gold Coast Titans. Belmore Oval was absolutely heaving on the weekend. How good to see. Look, I'll start with the Doggies, and I will be honest with you guys. I watched this game at a pub with no sound, so I was a little bit all over the place. But, I mean, I think the scoreline tells you the story. I thought Canterbury was very, very good in this game. I thought Hutcho had a very good game. Blake Taff, 2 very good games in a row. Keen to see him get tested over the next few weeks again. Reid Marnie was solid. Connor Tracy absolutely brained it when he came in. What about Kiraz? I'm just looking at his stats now, but it felt like Kiraz had a maniac effort. 122 run meters. He had 1 line break, 2 line break assists. He broke 11 tackles, Kiraz. My God. Blake Wilson, 8 tackle breaks. Connor Tracy, 6. Shout out to the boys. They had a red hot crack, and it was great to see. Maxi King, solid once again. You saw Curran come off the bench for a great stint. I thought both the back rowers, they were unreal. Kickow and Jacob Preston both scored tries. Both were sensational. Kickow for a big charge down. You love to see it. Look, Canterbury, full credit to them. A very, very good performance against the Titans side that is just looking more and more average the longer we go on. But you can only play against the side that's put in front of you, and Canterbury did that. If the Titans are as bad as what they look, teams should be putting them to the sword. and the Canterbury Bulldogs did that. So full credit to them. Once again, guys, I watched this game with no sound, so I probably can't go wildly in depth on this one. But look, I thought the scoreline told the story. As I said, Canterbury Bulldogs fan, fucking enjoy it. This is unreal. Scoring 32 points in the NRL is incredible. And I think Canterbury, they take a lot of confidence out of this heading into South Sydney next week on Good Friday against a team that is really struggling, that is down on confidence. Wow. Sitting in a good little spot here, Canterbury. So super exciting. Enjoy it, Canterbury Bulldogs fans. It is just unreal. For the Gold Coast Titans, holy dooly. Yeah, look, the thing that worries me the most, and I know they're missing key players and whatnot, but, you know, the trial, defense looks shit. Round one, defense looks shit. Had 2 weeks to recover from it and get themselves ready. They concede 32 points to the Canterbury Bulldogs. Defense looks worse than ever. Really alarming signs there at the Gold Coast Titans. And we're just, I remember that first trial where we saw like their reserve grade side and we thought, okay, there's a bit of Desi DNA there. I couldn't find a Desi fingerprint on this side at the moment. Really, really alarming signs from the Gold Coast Titans. It's a long season. It's very early. It is only game two. They haven't even played back-to-back weeks yet because of the bye. A lot of water still to go under the Gold Coast Titans bridge, but my God, it's alarming. And I'll tell you what, it went from bad to heaps fucking worse. Obviously, the injury to Tino, we want to wish him all the very best. We gave our thoughts on Instagram yesterday. You can go and have a look at that. But that is just devastating. Absolutely devastating for Tino, for the Gold Coast Titans, for the Queensland Maroons, and for rugby league, to be honest with you. I love watching Tino, and it's going to leave a huge hole for the Gold Coast Titans. Fifita, Jaden Campbell, these sort of guys due back over the next few weeks. But without Tino, I just don't know how the Titans are going to go this year, to be honest with you. Devastating stuff. Also, when you've signed a guy on a 10-year deal, a forward like that with his sort of ability and like as mobile and as big as he is, fuck, ACL, they're the last three letters that you want to hear. So I don't want to overreact, but the Titans are looking like they are in a world of hurt at the moment. So yeah, I'm not going to shit on them too much more. I know for you Titans fans, very, very tough weekend at the office. You probably don't need to hear me ragging on your side anymore, but yeah, they're in a tough spot, the Titans. We'll see how they go over the next few weeks, but I am very, very nervous of them moving forward. Without Tino, it does open up opportunities for guys to set up. We know Mo Fatawaka will. The guy I want you to keep an eye on, Jermaine Joliffe. Played lock on the weekend, 45 minutes. Ran for 105 metres, 44 post-contact, 3 tackle breaks, 34 tackles with 0 missed. He was actually the only player in the team not to miss a tackle on the weekend. So keep an eye on Jermaine Joliffe. Always really liked him. I think he's always been really undervalued. All right. Let's bury that. Let's move on. The St. George Illawarra Dragons against the Cowboys at Netstrata Jubilee. The Cowboys winning this one 46 points to 24. Cowboys scored early through Murray Taulagi, and then they just fell asleep for 20 minutes. And the Dragons ran out to a pretty good lead at one point. I think they led about 18 points to 4 at one point. And you thought, oh my God, the Cowboys, we're back to the roller coaster. Dragons, they're back. They're looking good. And then the Cowboys switched it on and absolutely blew them off the park. It was wild. And, mate, when this Cowboys side gets rolling, they are near impossible to stop. They are such a good footy side to watch. And I don't know, and I know the 7-tackle set's only been around for a few years, but watching this Cowboys side in the first few weeks, I don't know if there's ever been a team that'll hurt you so much off a 7-tackle set. They just flood the middle. They offload and you have a 7-tackle set and all of a sudden you look up 4 tackles later and you're defending on your 20 going, what on earth just happened? They are rapid, the North Queensland Cowboys. You get them on a dry track, Arvo games, good luck. Best of luck. They are going to hurt a lot of teams this year and score a lot of points. We'll start with the Cows. Scotty Drinkbloke, obviously amazing in this game. 2 try assists, 2 line break assists, 164 run meters, 6 tackle breaks. He was everywhere and electric, and I thought he got unlucky on a number of occasions not to get a stack more points. Val Holmes, good God. 18 points, 1 try, 7 goals, 21 runs, 247 run meters with 107 post contact, 2 line breaks, 1 line break assist, 1 try assist, 7 tackle breaks. Holy dooly. Val Holmes absolutely lit it up on the weekend. He was incredible. How many tackles did he make? 2. 13 tackles, 2 missed. Wow, Val Holmes, no errors. 10 out of 10 performance. He was fantastic. Murray Tuilagi, solid. Tommy Dearden was great. Chad was good. Love the way that Tommy Dearden's playing at the moment. He's playing tough. He's just playing a captain's knock every single week. I thought Tommy Chester, man, came in for Labor. I'm not quite sure what the go was there or why he came in, but man, Chester was impressive at center. I thought he was really good. 17 runs, 150 meters at center when you're a, you know, undersized fullback. Pretty damn good. As far as the forwards go, Fine Fuiaki had a HIA at one point, came back on, scored a try, was very solid. He was great. Robson was sensational. Nanai got through work again, 9 hit-ups. That's what you want to see from him. Ruben Cotter got through a stack. I'll tell you what, though, the boys coming off the bench. Griffin Neame scored a try. Sam McIntyre scored a try. Both were tremendous, man. Sam McIntyre, I'm loving the look of him at the moment. Came out from the Titans. Never really been given a shot before, a proper shot. He looks incredible. Griffin Neame, 18 runs for 180 run meters. Unreal. The Cowboys, man, they are looking red hot and they are going to be a serious side to compete with this year. As I said, they scored 46 points. If everything would have gone their way, they could have scored 60 or 70, I reckon, and they only played 60 minutes of footy. Unbelievable. Dragons, look, glimpses of what we like to see, but heaps more glimpses of what we hate to see from the Dragons. Obviously coming off a, you know, a 38-0 drumming by the Dolphins last week. They were looking for a big bounce back and they didn't quite get it. These rumours constantly circulating about Zach Lomax. I'll tell you what, if he lands at the Parramatta Eels, my God, he's going to kill it this year. He was everywhere, Zach Lomax, playing both sides of the ruck, popping up everywhere. I thought Tyrell Sloan, I know it's easy to give him shit, but I thought he was pretty good in this game. 13 runs, 110 run metres, 3 tackle breaks. Still had, you know, one or two errors here, but I thought he's looking better than what I thought he would this year, to his credit. So Sloan, full credit to him. Zomax, if Lomax wants to leave, I get why they're not playing him at fullback. And I think Tyrell Sloan's done enough to hold on to the jersey so far. Jack Bird, solid without being great. Flano scored a nice little try, a little show and go. Benny Hunt went about his work again. Jack DeBellin, I thought he was really good. Got through a stack of work, 60-odd minutes there. 110 run metres, would have made 40 tackles. Yep, 40 on the nose. Jesse Maskey on debut. How good. Great to see. Jacob Little will return next week, but I thought he was solid. Man, these Maskey boys, there's something about them, eh? They can play. Outside of that, Leilua was solid. Eisenhuth was good. But, yeah, just I still don't know who the Dragons are. The round one Dragons, when they're talking in the press conference, they're running their mouth and sort of laughing at everyone. I don't know. We might have gone off a little bit early there with the red V. We'll see how they go over the next few weeks, but more and more the evidence is pointing to more of the same of the old Dragons, but we will see. The late game on Saturday night. Wow. Upset of the week. Man, I spoke about the West Tigers that I didn't think they'd just roll over here, but 32 points to 6, they absolutely gave it to the Sharkies. And what stood out for me was just how hard the Tigers pack went at them. You could literally hear them on the commentary going at them, swearing at them, calling fucking hit him, all this shit. Like, it was just great. And honestly, they rattled the Sharkies. I thought Nico Hines was pretty rattled in this game. Few out on the full. Braden Treadle came up with a couple of really poor plays as well. Man, I think the Tigers got under their skin and really rattled them. And you know what? To the Sharks' credit, the injuries they had were just ridiculous. Dale Finucane got injured. Royce Hunt got injured warming up on the sideline. I have never heard of that in my entire life. Toby Rudolph got injured as well. So really, really tough. But honestly, I thought the Tigers started to get a real ascendancy on this game before any of that was really going to impact them. Tommy Hazelden came on, played well in attack, a couple of the problem with some of their forwards is laterally they're not great. Hazelton, Corfusi, Rudolph, laterally, Finucane as well, laterally they're not fantastic. So if you can move them around the ruck, if you get a hooker like Appy scheming and playing around with them, you can really catch them out there. So it's something the Cronulla Sharks going to have to work on. It's where a guy like AFB will make a big difference in the middle next year. But yeah, look, the Sharkies, bit of a shit fight. Nico had a shocker. Braden Trindle had a shocker. Pretty disappointing night out. I think the one guy to compliment, oh, I'll tell you who else they missed, Britt Nikita. They really missed just his direct hole running, his defense. They missed him in a lot of spots on the weekend. The guy I thought was really good was Talakai. Put up some really great stats again. 203 run meters as a center. Sensational. A line break assist. He had 8 tackle breaks. He was very, very good, Sifa. I was very impressed with him. He's having a cracking season. And he might not be the perfect center. He might have his downfalls, but my God, you can't just keep on ignoring what he does with the ball in hand. He's been incredible, Sifa, and I would not want to mark him. Miss me with that. I thought Mulitalo was solid as well, came up with some good plays, worked hard. The Hards, it's just taken a lot of time to gel. I said this in the preseason. I think it's still going to take time. Look, I'm not going to go too heavy on the forward pack because they had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of things go against them. The guy that I did think had a cracker was Cam McInnes. Fuck, it felt like he was everywhere. 114 run meters. How many tackles did he get through? 42. Very impressive. Jack Williams, first crack on the edge. 43 tackles there. Obviously, defensively, missed a couple as well, but he did get through a lot to his credit. But yeah, look, when you look at the missed tackles, the only players that didn't miss tackles were Finucane and Royce Hunt, who both got injured. Everyone else missed tackles, and the vast majority missed multiple tackles. A lot of guys heading into three-plus missed tackles. So very unlike the Sharkies, but like Hutt Oval, the Tigers just got on top, and all these injuries really crippled them, and they didn't do themselves any favours. There were Sharkies, so I'm not going to absolutely shit can them. I do want to watch them a little bit more. I still think the Sharkies are the real deal this year. But yeah, I think that one's just a bit of a perfect storm against them. Tigers, mate, you're going to absolutely murder those grilled burgers this week, and show you, so you should. How bloody good. Great performance. Arthur, Jareem Buller was fantastic. Some really nice plays there. Justin Olam was strong. Junior Tupu, fuck, he's a handful. Really good signing for the Dolphins. Fateh Ape had some good moments. Good to see him finally sort of trying to starting to find his feet. Galvin, though. Man, this kid is just energy plus. I absolutely love him. 17 runs of the football, only made 85 meters. But when I see 17 runs next to a ball player, I absolutely love it. That means they're having a red hot crack. Two line break assists, one try assist, one tackle break. The big thing for me, though, 22 tackles, zero missed. Galvin is the real deal, and he's doing some fantastic things. Once again, reminds me a lot of his looks and the way he plays, like Michael Morgan. A very, very talented player with a big future. Caesar, I thought he dictated terms really well, controlled this side, put him in the right spots they needed to. Much better than Bud Sullivan did last week. So I think Caesar, he is locked into that seven spot for the foreseeable future. Stefano was really good, 180-odd meters. He was great. 60 minutes there too, which is good to see. But the star of the show, Appy. Man, this guy, I'll tell you what, I saw a comment on the weekend which had me thinking, and if you're Manly, holy dooly. Do you remember when you had Appy a few years ago and you sort of let him go because you had an ace final? He's obviously not in our game anymore. Appy since has gone on to be probably the most dominant hooker, well, definitely the most dominant hooker of the last 3 years, winning two premierships, going to the Tigers, performances like this. A real sliding doors moment there for the Manly Seagulls, and that's with all due respect to Lachie Croker, but could you imagine if they have the forward pack they have, the Manly Seagulls, with Appy at nine? Wow, they would be dynamic. But a great get by the West Tigers getting Appy. Had gastro in this game as well. I'll tell you what, when I have gastro, I'm lucky to make it to the toilet, let alone into first grade, and to dominate in first grade like this. Incredible work from Appy. He was fantastic. Two line break assists, two try assists, three tackle breaks, 42 tackles, only missed two. His ruck recognition, it is just second to none in this competition. He's a freak, Appy. And he would be in my New South Wales 17. I've said it a few times. Everyone wants to talk Cook and Reece Robson, which is fair. Bruh, Appy has to be in that side. And I personally think Michael Maguire, he won a grand final with Appy. I think he picks him. I think he'll come off the bench. I think Reece Robson will start for the Blues. Isaiah Papali'i looks to be getting back to his best, playing some great footy. We said on Bloke last week that I expected Finua Bole to get a start in the 13. Really good. 152 run meters. How many tackles did he get through? 31, only one missed. Love this kid. Big, big future. Alex Seifarth, good bounce back from him as well. Had an absolute shocker last week, came back with a good performance. And Finu as well, coming off the bench, played 50 minutes, was very impressive. So shout out to Benji. What about Benji in the post-game presser? Skucks Deluxe, my guy, looking unreal. And great to see the West Tigers getting off to a good start finally. I'm interested to see if any of the journos want to credit Benji this week for how hard he worked, because he wasn't working hard enough last week. Put 30 on the Sharkies. So not bad, Benj. Good on you. Let's move to the Sunday afternoon games. We've got the Parramatta Eels 28 over the Manly Seagulls 24. Bit of a scrappy game, a lot of errors and whatnot, but I thoroughly enjoyed this game. I'll tell you what, early when it was 12-0 and Manly were flying, I thought, oh my God, they could put 50 on Parramatta here. Geez, the Eels did well to fight their way back into this. It was so impressive. We'll talk about Manly first. Obviously, Tommy Turbo exploded early, first try scorer. Great to see. Looked great throughout the game. Got unlucky in a couple of moments. He looks electric at the moment, Tommy Turbo. Jackson Paulo scored a nice little try. Some great ball playing. playing by DCE and Luke Brooks down that right edge. Great to see Brooksy floating over there as well. You love to see it. Looking very confident at the moment, Brooksy. Reuben Garrick scored just on halftime. Obviously, that combination there of Morgan Harper and Blaise Talangi getting really, really tested. Morgan Harper, probably a yard too slow to play wing realistically, but he didn't pick himself on the wing. Blaise Talangi on debut. I thought he did some good things. We'll get to him soon, but obviously defensively did struggle in the first half. I also don't think centre is his best spot, and I think when he gets to the end of his career, I reckon a very small part of it will be played at centre. But we'll see how that all plays out. I'll tell you what, one negative with Manly, man, Burbo looked gassed, gave away a couple of penalties, few errors. A little bit disappointing from Burbo, and Corey Waddell came on and looked a million, scored a really important try. So interesting few weeks for Burbo. I can't believe we're finally watching him start, and I'm worried he could lose his spot, and Josh Schuster isn't even in the picture. I'm keen to see how Burbo bounces back next week. That'll be interesting because I don't think he'll be playing 80 minutes moving forward. Jake Trbojevic got through a stack of work. There was obviously the obstruction call, the big one. Yeah, tough one, eh? Look, was it a try? Yes, it should have been a try. But with the way that the rule's done, I understand why they said no try. And the reality is, if you're Jake Trbojevic, you cannot stop in the line. We all know the rules. We know they're a bit pedantic on it, but it is the rule. We all know it. It was no shock. You can't stop in the line. So if you're gonna stop in the line and you're going to provide the bunker with the opportunity to take it off, they probably will. So lesson to be learned there. I hate it, guys. I absolutely hate it. But by the letter of the law and with the way that they rule, it is a no try. You either have to pull up before the line or go through the line. One of the two, you cannot stand in the line. And when your ass is falling out and you're exhausted, God, it's easy for me to say sitting on my fat ass over here, but it is just the reality of it. You have to go through the line or pull up before. Tough one there, but I get why they made the call, and it didn't shock me that they made the call. Outside of that, goes for the Manly Seagulls, not a heap to touch on. Thought Kohler was pretty quiet. I just wanted to get involved in the game, eh? Taniela Paseka, solid as again. But yeah, look, you have a look at their forward pack. Not a single player ran for over 100 metres, the Manly Seagulls. So yeah, not great for them. Let's move to the Parramatta Eels.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I thought at 12-0 they were no hope. I thought they were going to get blown off the park here, and the way they fought back in, it was very, very impressive. Nice little play by Will Pensini to cross Mitchie Moses then. What about that offload from Junior Bolo? He's an absolute freak. It was a very, very poor defensive play on that moment by Luke Brooks. Burbo obviously bodied up on Junior Bolo, but Luke Brooks had to do more, and they have to wrap the ball up when Junior's got it. So I felt a little bit sorry for Burbo in that play, pretty poor from Luke Brooks there. Blaise Talangi then scored. How good were the hands from Mitch Moses on that play? Unbelievable. Just rapid. Credit to Morgan Harper. Ran a good little decoy on that play. And Blaise Talangi on debut. I know he had defensive issues. I get it. But, bro, for a young guy like him to score in first grade on debut like that, you just love to see it. The kid's got a big future. Bag him for defense. Pretend he can't play if you want, but he's going to prove you wrong. Very talented player. Morgan Harper scored late. Thank God. He had a bit of a shocker. And Kelmatoa Lungy as well. Nice little ball from Mitchie Moses again. Had a cracker today, Moses. Obviously carrying that groin injury and whatnot. He did kick a goal late in the game. So good to see Mitchie Moses getting back to his best. I don't think that groin is worrying him all that much anymore. Credit to Parramatta to get themselves back into that game. A high-scoring affair. Neither team would be overly happy with their performance. But if I'm Parramatta, I'm sitting back going, you know what? We had no right to be in that game based on how the first 20 minutes went. And we fought our way back into it, and we had to fucking white knuckle it for the last 20 minutes, and they managed to find a way, so credit to them. Outside of that, not a heap to touch on there. Rumours about Zach Lomax potentially joining the Eels. I was talking to a mate during the game. Man, this Parramatta forward pack is just so stacked. Do you consider throwing the Dragons a forward, maybe a Ryan Madison to get Lomax? Because man, they're just a strike outside back away from being a really, really top shelf team, Parramatta. I'd be willing to sacrifice a little bit in the forward pack and back the coach to get the vest out of Kelma Tuolungi to grab a Zach Lomax. But we'll see what Parramatta do. They've obviously been very hesitant to make any moves in their backs for as long as I can remember. So we'll see what happens there. But credit to Parramatta, really good win. Manly, disappointing, but I still think they're the real deal this year. And I think if a few things went their way with Turbo and a few calls, could have been a very different story. The late game, the Newcastle Knights 14 over the Melbourne Storm 12. Melbourne obviously missing players. No Munster, no Hughes, no Nelson or Sofa Solomona. So a lot of guys out there. Remus Smith got injured in this game as well. So just a typical Melbourne Storm performance to hang in there and almost get the win here. Ryan Pappenhausen did everything he possibly could in this game. Got unlucky on a few plays as well that potentially could have won it for them. But that's the NRL. That's how it goes. Look, for the Melbourne Storm, with the players they had missing, I don't read too much into this. Trent Leary got through a lot of work, but God, I thought he made a lot of errors live. Just having a look at his stats to see if I'm actually on the money there, if I'm talking out of my ass. But I felt like he gave away a fair whack of penalties. Missed three tackles. Just the one error, to be fair. I just felt like there was a number of times. He gave away two penalties. Yeah, right. A couple of big plays there that he messed up. Yeah, look, Melbourne missing players. You know, the Wishart and Pezzett combo, it does look like a reserve grade sort of combo, as it should. That's what these boys are. Wishart doesn't even, you know, play in the halves. We did back him as an anytime try scorer in this game. Our little Smokey crossed at about $7. Thanks for coming. Whenever you get an NRL team that's a decent NRL team that is missing their first choice halves and you've got substitute halves in, they tend to be a little bit out of sorts and they tend to run the football quite a bit. If you have a look at the stats of these two, Wishart had 11 runs, Jonah Pezzett 6, so not a stack. But it didn't surprise me to see Wishart cross in this one. Very, very talented player from very good pedigree. Yeah, Ellie Katoa was solid. Obviously, without the halves, it's tough. Harry Grant just tried and tried and tried, but a tough night at the office for him. And yeah, look, the Melbourne Storm missing players, I don't really read into this one all that much, guys. They really did push the Newcastle Knights, who missing a couple of guys, Greg Marshall and whatnot, but yeah, I thought early the Knights were going to give it to them. And the Melbourne Storm, they showed a lot of resilience. What I would take from this is the Melbourne Storm missing players with guys defending in different spots. Sean Blore playing his first game, the two halves out. I think that defensively to keep Newcastle and a Kalen Ponga on a dry track at Newey to 14 points, fuck, I think that's pretty respectable. So I think the Melbourne Storm can be proud of their performance there. Let's go to the Newcastle Knights, the victors. Kalen Ponga was the star of the show here. 202 run metres. He had a line break assist and a try assist. It was with the old Georgie Gregan pass off the deck to hit Tuala. 9 tackle breaks as well. He was everywhere. KP, a very good performance by him. Bounced back in Supercoach a little bit, which was good to see. Some really nice plays. I love that he just went back-to-back on that play to put Tuala over. There was a moment where, and I think it was Jacob Saifidi, it was a ball on the deck that sort of Pappy was looking at, and I just love the determination by Saifidi just to jump ball and all on it. It was fantastic. You saw Appy Kurisau do a similar thing for the West Tigers. Sign of a good footy side when they're not looking at the ball on the ground, they're diving at it and they're getting all over it, which is good to see. Thought Tuala was really good, obviously scored the try, but he ran for 190 metres, Tuala. Had a line break, had 3 tackle breaks. Dane Gagai, 7 tackle breaks. I'll tell you what, Tuala and Jenkins, both were very good. Both were very, very solid in this game. I thought Bradman Best would get a few more opportunities than what he did. In saying that, he still ran for 170 metres, Bradman, so very solid. Saifidis were good, I thought. Adam Elliott, he's having a bit of an all over. Like, he scored 2 tries last week and he was brilliant. Fuck, he's coming up with a lot of errors and missing a lot of tackles at the moment, though, Adam Elliott. Very unlike him. Yeah, I'm a little bit – I know he scored 2 tries last week, and that's fantastic. But, yeah, by the standards I have for Adam Elliott, because I think he's a very good footballer, a little bit disappointed with how he started this season so far. Look, the big watch for me and one of the big talking points, and I spoke about this a few weeks ago, I said, you know what, I just think their middles are lacking a little bit. You've got these two edges in Pierce Paul and Dylan Lucas who can play at a high click. I'd seriously consider moving Tyson Brazil back to the middle. And they actually did it this week, which was fantastic to see. You saw Dylan Lucas when he came on. He went to the right edge. They moved Tyson Frizzell into the middle, which I thought was fantastic. They also left Kai Pierce-Paul out on the edge for the full 80 minutes, which I absolutely loved as well. So hopefully they do that moving forward. I'm not sure if you guys can hear this beeping that's in the studio. I'm not quite sure what it is. We'll work that out later, but apologies if you can hear that. It's annoying the shit out of me, I'll tell you that much for free. But I really like that move by Adam O'Brien. I think Kai Pierce-Paul should remain as an 80-minute guy on that left edge. I think it's just going to open so many opportunities on that side. Jaden Brayley, good to see him back for his first hit out of 2024. I think he's going to be very important to them this year. I think the 1-2 punch of Phoenix Crossland and Jaden Brayley, I think it can be very, very successful. All right, legends, that will probably do us for our rapid review brought to you by Grilled. The link is in the description. Sign up so that next week on Mad Bunday, you can collect your 2-for-1 burgers if your team wins on the weekend. If your team won this weekend and you are already signed up to the loyalty group Relish, you can go and collect your 2-for-1 burgers tomorrow or today, depending on when you're watching / listening on Monday. Super exciting. Thank you to Grilled for sponsoring the rapid review. Hope you enjoyed this content. Make sure, guys, if you want to join the Roo Crew and get early access to shows and podcasts like this, hit the link down here that says Roo Crew. $8 a month, $2 a week, absolutely cheap as chips. We are forming one hell of a community in there. It's only been going for about 2 weeks, and there's about 80, 85 bits of content in there, either early access, exclusive, Q&As, whatever it might be, an absolute stack of content in there, and there's more to come this week for Supercoach. Stay tuned for that. You're going to absolutely love it. Thank you for joining us once again on the Rapid Review. Hit the Grilled link down below.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.